CX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. It's the third day of the NBA season, and the coach of the Portland Trail Blazers, Chauncey Billups, is under arrest. So is Miami Heat player Terry Rozier. There are more of 30 people arrested in a federal gambling sting involving unlawful betting and fixed poker games. This comes as legalized gambling has surged in popularity, but federal prosecutor Joseph Nocella said today,
the sports books themselves are victims in this case. They themselves did not, as far as our investigation has concluded, they did not perpetrate anything unlawful.
Billups and Rozier are on leave. President Trump said he is not sending federal troops to San Francisco this weekend after he spoke with the city's mayor. American ranchers say they aren't happy. The president's committed to buy more beef from Argentina. The White House says the president wants to increase supply to lower prices, and the Senate did not advance a bill that would have paid some federal workers during the shutdown. This is ABC News.
Madison, Wisconsin. Students, government, lakes, and 92.7 WMDX.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. We have an update to a story we brought you last week about an attack on a student at a Madison high school. At the time, all police would confirm is that there was a battery at West High School last Wednesday the 15th. Now there's video of the attack published by WISC. It's incredibly hard to watch. I reached out to district staff and to the police department. Police confirmed to me that two teenagers were arrested, charged with first-degree reckless injury and battery, and they referred a third teen on charges of battery and disorderly conduct. We won't know if the students involved will face disciplinary action. A district spokesperson confirmed to me they cannot release that information because of student privacy. However, district rules say students who take part in violence like this could be recommended for expulsion. West High School principal Daniel Kageya told WISC his job is to keep all students safe, and in this situation, he failed. The student hurt was hospitalized. Meanwhile, Madison officially has its new police chief. Chief John Patterson was sworn in last night. He actually took over in February when former Chief Sean Barnes left for Seattle. He's been with the department for 27 years. Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway.
He's dedicated to our community and has forged trusted relationships across Madison because he shows up and he listens, because he's professional, but also humble and kind, and because I would suggest that he sees the humanity in everyone.
Here's what Patterson had to say to Madison residents.
We will stay rooted strongly in the principles of procedural justice and community policing. We will always prioritize our people, our culture, and our service to all of you. We will remain accountable and transparent. We will listen, and we will work each day to continue to earning your trust.
Patterson is the city's third permanent police chief in 6 years. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, 92.7 WMDX News.
The Bucks lose Porter.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks won their opener last night, 133-120, against the Wizards at Fiserv Forum, but they lost guard Kevin Porter Jr., who went down at the end of the first quarter with a sprained left ankle after stepping on teammate Bobby Portis's foot. Doc Rivers asked if he saw what happened.
No, it didn't look good. I'll just say that, you know. So he's going to do an MRI tomorrow. We just got to hope for the best, but looking at it, it was a pretty bad sprain.
The NFL has named Micah Parsons NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Parsons will be after Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers next on Sunday Night Football. Rodgers asked if playing the Pack is a revenge game for him.
I don't have any animosity toward the organization. Obviously, I wish that, you know, things have been better in our last year there, but, you know, I have a great relationship with a lot of people still in that organization. This is not a revenge game for me. I'm just excited to see some of those guys and be on Sunday Night Football again.
That's Aaron Rodgers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report right here on 92.7 WMDX.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mix of clouds and sunshine into your Thursday afternoon. Northwest winds with highs in the lower 50s. Tonight, a freeze warning goes into effect. Skies turning mostly clear. Lows in the lower 30s. On Friday, sunshine and highs in the mid-50s. Right now, it's 51.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The John and Gordy Show.
Give us a jingle. What do you got for us, Dick? What do you got for us, Charles?
We have CG on the line.
Mark, what do you got for us?
We have Matt on the phone.
Joe, what do you got for us?
Hi, guys. Great show, as always. Your callers are the spice that makes your stew the most wonderful thing ever.
All right, Joe. Thank you.
Joe, thank you very much for that comment.
We have this round table, and we've got all these great listeners who call us on a regular basis and throw their two cents, and this is fantastic stuff.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Across the state of Wisconsin, people have concerns, to say the least, about Badger football. Brady Ewing, two-time Big Ten champion and NFL vet, will be here to discuss it at our favorite fall event. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Talk radio for people who mute their TVs. 92.7 WMDX.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
I wouldn't get on this program with all of you fine folks every day and talk about how to do that through voting and through speaking out. I'm here with you every day.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
What are you doing as an elected official? You have no business in an elected office.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Go Pack Go. Thank you for having me.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Thursday afternoon, Friday Eve. We've made it thus far. Hopefully we can struggle through the balance of the week together. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Big headline today. It's been all over a lot of the national news stories. More than 30 people were indicted this morning in a case involving insider bets on basketball games, NBA basketball games, and poker games. The allegations are basically rigging, and these indictments involve four of the nation's five crime families. Cosa Nostra. It's a pretty sexy indictment. There are two specific cases. They're each separate, though there are defendants that appear in both indictments. And across these two cases, three current and former NBA players and coaches have been charged. Again, this is about defrauding gamblers and online betting firms. The first indictment accused six defendants, including Terry Rozier, a guard, current NBA player guard for the Miami Heat, and Damon Jones, a former player and coach, of trading on inside information available to players and coaches to allow a network of effectively conspirators, co-conspirators, to place winning bets on NBA games. And apparently some of this was happening in real time. One of the specific allegations is that in March of 23, Terry Rozier was starting for the Charlotte Hornets at that time. And he apparently told some of these alleged co-conspirators that he was planning to leave the game early, citing an injury. None of this was, of course, known to the public or Hornets officials. The bettors made hundreds of thousands of dollars of bets and then split the proceeds with Terry Rozier. That's icky. The second indictment, again, separate but somewhat related case, charged an incredibly well-known current NBA head coach, Chauncey Billups, who, by the way, used to play for the Bucks. Remember when Chauncey Billups used to play for the Bucks? He had that sort of weird-looking head, played with Big Dog Robinson. It's when they had those three guys that led the Bucks into the postseason a few times. Ended up being an NBA champion. He was the MVP of one of the finals. As well as Damon Jones, this is the second indictment,
with participating in a series of rigged poker games that were organized by these mafia families that cheated unwitting victims out of $7 million. These poker games were across the country in like the Hamptons and Vegas and Miami and New York City. And the four of the five big Cosa Nostra families included the Bonanos, the Gambinos, the Lucchesis, and the Genovese families. And they would then take cuts of the profits from these rigged poker games. And it was the involvement of these NBA stars that helped lure these big dollar poker players into these games. It gets, I mean, pretty kind of Hollywood-esque. The indictments reference shuffling machines that had to be altered so that they were reading the cards in the deck and could predict which player at the table likely had the best hand, as well as get this, specially designed contact lenses and sunglasses to read through the cards. So the NBA has put Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups on immediate leave. Again, I listened to the press conference this morning because I love sports. I thought this was really interesting. Here were a couple of things. During the press conference, of course, like Cash Patel is out there like thumping his chest. But from the coverage that I've read today and this morning, it looks like the poker indictment was about $7 million. And one of the FBI agents this morning called these online betting companies one of the victims. I don't know about you all, but like, this is bad. But game fixing or attempts to game fix cheating, I hate cheaters. This is terrible. But is it really like, I don't know, in context, like $7 million? An online sports betting gambling firm is really a victim here? I don't know. We have the highest levels of incidence of gambling addiction, especially in young men, than our country has ever seen. We've legalized gambling, but only in particular places. Again, the cheating is a crime and it's bad. But yeah, I don't know. By the way, the NBA just inked broadcast deals worth $76 billion over the next 11 years. The online gambling market is estimated to be around total for 2024, like $79 billion. It's expected to reach $154 billion by 2030. And just from this first few months of 2025, combined revenue from casinos is $34 billion. I don't know. I'm just $7 billion. Like, no, the cheating's really bad, but... And the mob, bad. But it seems a little weird and disingenuous, and I have to ask a question about, like, why now? When the other big headline that I think has been kind of overwhelmed by this big press bonanza orchestrated by Lackey Cash Patel, FBI director, is the fact that Donald Trump yesterday pardoned a cryptocurrency fraudster billionaire. Okay? If you haven't heard about this, I'm here to tell you about it. This guy's name is Changpeng Zhao. He's the billionaire founder of the cryptocurrency exchange Binance. And to me, this guy engaged in massive fraud, like at scale, okay? He is now pardoned, doesn't have to pay any of the restitution, which I am certain well exceeded the $7 million involved in rich guys and online gambling companies getting bilked by these people who allegedly cheated. But that's the guy that Trump pardons? And by the way, oh, yes, the reason that he pardoned this guy or at least I would infer a reason that he pardoned him, or why maybe the name Binance might sound a smidgy familiar to you if you've been watching or listening to this program, is because Binance is the cryptocurrency that Donald Trump's new family grift machine called World Liberty Financial, which they started earlier this year, is doing this big deal in the United Arab Emirates. So yeah, it's a guy that Donald Trump has a business relationship with. So that dude gets a pardon, a billion-dollar crypto fraudster. Just a reminder who else Donald Trump has thought fit to pardon: Ross Ulbricht, who ran Silk Road, which was this crypto Bitcoin-backed fuel that's what they traded in that allowed human trafficking, drug trafficking. This guy was ordered to pay $200 million in penalties and was sentenced to life in prison, but he gets a pardon. Donald Trump is like the Oprah of pardons for billionaires. Hey, did you give to my inauguration campaign? Are you doing business with me? Are you willing to give to my big new vanity project East Wing ballroom that will dwarf the size of the existing White House footprint? Pardon for you, and a pardon for you, and a pardon for you. Also, a pardon from Donald Trump for Paul Walczak, the Florida nursing home CEO who stole $11 million from his employees' paychecks and pled guilty to that. But his mom wrote a check for $1 million so she could have dinner at Mar-a-Lago, and like bingo bango, a week later, pardon for Mr. Walczak. How about Donald Trump's pardon of Salmon Melgen, the Florida ophthalmologist who was convicted of defrauding Medicare, you know, fraud, waste, and abuse, defrauding of Medicare out of, wait for it, ladies and gentlemen, $73 million. And he had his sentence commuted by Donald Trump. And this crypto fraudster that runs the Binance company that Donald Trump's World Liberty Financial is doing billion-dollar deals as bridge financing for this project in the UAE, he also pled guilty to his charges. You know who else is in on the deal with the UAE and Binance? Donald Trump's foreign negotiator, Stephen Witkoff. And all of this comes in the wake of Donald Trump, since his inauguration, basically dismantling the entire cryptocurrency fraud investigatory and regulatory enforcement mechanisms that were put in place under President Biden. Because, of course, there's no potential for abuse of regular American people with cryptocurrencies. So again, really interesting news today about the game fixing and the cheating at the poker with the rich people. And oh God, let's worry about those online betting companies. I don't know about you, but 7 mil and online betting companies as, quote, victims aren't what keep me up at night, nor do rich guy poker players and fabulous big mansions in Vegas and Miami and New York City. Not what, cheating, terrible. Should there be some sort of criminal investigation, perhaps an indictment? Yeah, sure. But like the big, huge celebration of how amazing the FBI, no. When Donald Trump is busy effectively selling pardons out of the White House, makes me really angry, super disgusted. When we come back on the other side, the thing that I find so astounding about literally almost daily, yet another news report of Donald Trump's complete and utter 100% corruption, the grift that is the Trump presidency 2.0. Whenever Republicans get asked about it, they're like, "Oh, I haven't heard about that. Not sure. Let me get back to you. Ooh, awkward. Let me dodge the question." Like, why do we know more about Donald Trump's corruption than the leaders of the MAGA party in the halls of Congress? I've got some sound about their incompetence, about his corruption next. So don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, where we point out the baloney every single day. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
WMDX, the station your car presets warned you about.
You want to vote for a governor. You do have many to choose from who have served in the assembly. Or you can choose the one of us candidate. Hi, I'm Ryan Sternad. I work for a living. Sure, I don't have elected experience, but I do have working class experience. Won't you want your governor to know what it's like to be in your shoes and to govern that way? For more, go to RyanSternadForGovernor.com.
Paid for by Ryan Sternad for Governor.
Fall is in the air, and there's no better place to enjoy it than at Sugar River Pizza in Sun Prairie. Cozy up inside for some spirits, 48 beers on tap, and THC drinks. Choose from a wide selection of their warm pastas, 12-hour smoked pulled pork, and of course, their pizzas. Voted Best of Madison, Sugar River Pizza is known for great food, great drinks, and a warm, welcoming atmosphere. Located on Cabela Drive in Sun Prairie, they also offer catering. Sugar River Pizza, where fall feels like home.
Herbal Aspect has landed. That's right. Madison's go-to cannabis destination now has a brand new location in Sun Prairie.
Wait, four locations? That's a high level of convenience.
With three Madison locations and now Sun Prairie, a great cannabis experience is always close by. Our expert staff is here to help, whether you walk in, call, or order online. Mention Radio 420 and get a special discount. So stop by Herbal Aspect in Sun Prairie, because great cannabis isn't just a pipe dream.
Nice. I'm rolling over now.
Herbal Aspect.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Donald Crump, I'm going to just start calling him Crump the Corrupt. Donald Trump's daily corruption and the news, the constant news cycle about this, is pretty outstanding in its scope and its breadth. You've got the watches he's hawking. Melania's hawking stuff. They got the meme coins they're hawking. They got the kids doing the deals in the Mideast. They got the Trump World Liberty Financial doing deals in the Mideast. Kushner's going to be the developer in Gaza. And I will get to that today. It all stinks. There's the arguable, basically, like, selling of pardons. It's gross. You would think, as he guts oversight agency after oversight agency, as he fires inspector general after inspector general, as he installs lackey after incompetent lackey into various appointed positions that are supposed to be independent from the White House, that are responsible for oversight, like the self-proclaimed, I've got a Nazi street guy that's thankfully not going to be the head of the Office of Special Counsel. You would think that the last bastion of constitutional oversight of a visibly, objectively, daily corrupt president, you know, Congress, that congresspersons might be a little interested in this corruption. And they might want to, you know, keep themselves abreast of the day's news. But sadly, if they are on the MAGA side of the fence, it seems that the constant refrain is, I know nothing, not a thing. I know nothing about this. Listen, this is Mike Johnson yesterday, and it's important that you note that this was Mike Johnson yesterday being asked about Donald Trump deciding if he himself is going to pay himself $230 million, $250 million, for his bogus complaints about the very legitimate investigations into his very criminal conduct during his first administration. Listen to Mike Johnson, knowing nothing about it, yesterday.
How comfortable are you with the president apparently seeking $230 million from the Department of Justice?
I don't know the details about that. I've just read it. I didn't talk with him about that. I know that he believes he's...
I don't know anything about that. When asked a question about the president's unethical, corrupt self-dealing, and you don't know anything about it yesterday, you would think that by today, Mike Johnson would know something about it. But alas, you would be wrong.
You said yesterday you were still trying to get the details of this $230 million the president has asked for the Justice Department to pay for his legal bills. Now that you've had some time, perhaps, to get the details, are you okay with taxpayers potentially being on the hook for that kind of money?
I'm not trying to dodge the question. I haven't had time to get the details, okay? That's still on my list, things to do list. Yesterday was almost literally a 21-hour workday.
Well, is this guy for real? Yes, of course you're dodging the question, you spineless puppet. And then, of course, Carolyn Leavitt. She's become kind of like the weirdly blinking, stares off, thousand-yard stare Cupid doll of the Trump administration. She always goes to the mat. Now, we're putting two sounds together here, folks. This is Leavitt with indignance. How dare you? And then listen to Trump admit that, yeah, he's probably going to be paying himself. Listen to these two things together.
I think it's frankly ridiculous that anyone in this room would even suggest that President Trump is doing anything for his own benefit.
With the country, it's interesting because I'm the one that makes the decision, right? And, you know, that decision would have to go across my desk. And it's awfully strange to make a decision where I'm paying myself. In other words, did you ever have one of those cases where you have to decide how much you're paying yourself in damages?
Caroline, do you actually listen to what the president says? Does Mike Johnson, or is anyone paying attention? The lights are on, but no one's home. So Senators Cornyn and Cassidy were also asked about it. This makes for some interesting sound. At least one of them admits, like, the optics are bad. But again, it's a confederacy of dunces. I know nothing. I know that. I probably should look at that. Listen to this nonsense.
Well, it seems odd, and I think he's in the difficult position where he's asking for something that he would approve. I think it's terrible optics.
Do you have any issues with the $230 million ask that Trump had to the Justice Department for his legal bills?
I want to find out more about it, because I don't know what the details are.
The president had asked the Justice Department to pay for his legal bills with taxpayer money, $230 million. Are you okay with that?
You're telling me this right now, Manu. Can I kind of track it down? Let me read that on my own.
I don't mean to dodge the question, but maybe some bad opt. Oh gosh, who? How dare you suggest that the president would do anything for his own benefit? In this last 30 seconds that Caroline Leavitt was on Fox News. You cannot make this stuff up. Again, for the magazine Congress, the lights are on, but ain't nobody home. Nobody is interested in doing a whit of their constitutional duty to exercise oversight over the executive branch. Shame on them. If this isn't the thing that you can find your way to, maybe a trail of breadcrumbs to understand that this is absolutely an abomination. It is self-dealing. It is unethical. Anywhere in the world for anybody that's going to tell the truth about it, except for these guys. Yeah. When we come back, I'm joined by Tom Moore, Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress. Because when we talk about corruption, It ultimately is about getting the money, the dark money, out of politics. Mr. Moore's got a solution that does not require a constitutional amendment. We talk about how to make it better on the other side. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
92.7 WMDX, helping to keep Madison weird.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 92.7 WMDX.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The city of Madison may be adding lights to part of the Southwest Path. The area between Monroe Street and North Shore Drive is currently dark at night, and the State Journal reports alders have added an amendment to the city budget plan to make people feel safer. The change will cost about $544,000. The Common Council is set to discuss the city's budget proposal when alders meet on Tuesday. In an update to a story we've been following, Parker Olson details what Senator Tammy Baldwin wants to see after train derailments in Dodge County.
Senator Tammy Baldwin sent a letter Tuesday to Canadian Pacific Kansas City about an August train derailment in Dodge County. The derailment led to a crude oil spill near Reeseville. It's the second derailment in as many years in the area. Baldwin's letter to the company responsible for that 24-car derailment called on the company to investigate track issues in the area. Their previous two derailments were both caused by track issues. Baldwin is asking the company to provide her office with the summary of the actions they had taken since that August derailment. She also called on the company for a description of investments and changes in operation since the 2023 derailment that saw 29 cars derailed. For Civic Media News, I'm Parker Olson.
And a Madison restaurant figure who led iconic establishments has died. Jane Capito owned Mickey's Tavern, Greenbush Bar, and Lazy Jane's on Willie Street. According to a story her son told the Isthmus, she started out as a social worker in San Francisco. And one day she saw on a bulletin board somebody was driving to Madison, Wisconsin, and wanted someone to split the gas with. She took a chance, and the rest was history. Stories in both the Cap Times and the State Journal talk about how many people she employed went on to have their own restaurants and how proud she was to give them lots of chances to improve. Capito was 80 years old, and her son now runs the restaurants. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In Filthy Rich People Who Can't Catch a Break news, Jennifer Lopez cannot seem to live without drama if she's been out of the spotlight for more than a month. The actress-singer appeared on The Howard Stern Show recently and said in all of her four marriages, she was given rings and material possessions and houses, but that none of her four husbands truly loved her because they weren't capable. That did not sit well with her first husband, Ohani Noah, who accused her of not only rewriting history, but of cheating on him multiple times during their just 11-month marriage. A former model and personal trainer, Noah says despite her cheating, she begged him to stay to avoid bad publicity in her career, but she still kept lying and cheating. That doesn't sound like our Jen Jen. Noah claims he moved out of the state for her, supported her financially and emotionally until he was no longer needed. I mean, in J-Lo's defense, she did become famous very quickly. How was she supposed to know she'd only need him for 11 months? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 92.7 WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and frosty tonight, with lows in the upper 20s. Freeze warning issued. Sunshine returns for tomorrow, a little warmer, a high right around 50. Continued warming trend this weekend, highs climb through the 50s, maybe a slight rain chance. Right now it's 48.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
Friday morning, Rocker will be in the studio with a look at local music with the Max Inc. preview.
And pretty soon, the John and Gordy East Wing costume will be available.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining me, my name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. For the next half hour, I'm going to be joined by the Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. His name is Tom Moore, and he has written, and there is now publicized in USA Today and other news outlets, a brilliant solution to the dark money and its corrupting influence in politics. When you look at any survey, any poll, I don't care if it's being done by the American Enterprise Institution or the Brennan Center for Justice, right or left of the spectrum, when the polling question is asked of Americans, are corporations people? Is money speech? Should we have this unlimited amount of dark money pouring into politics? The answer is resoundingly, at 80%+, no. Americans know that this is rot. It is the worst kind of rot. It is the rot that makes government unaccountable to regular people, because if money is speech, then you and I are just whispering. So it is with excitement and humility and a dash of embarrassment that I never thought of this beautifully simple solution that I am joined by Tom Moore from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Thanks so much for being here, Tom.
Oh, Maggie, I'm delighted to be here. Thank you for having me.
So let's just dive right in. Everybody, if you pay attention to politics a little bit, knows about the Citizens United decision back from 2010 that basically said money is speech. You can't really regulate it. It gutted, I'm speaking sort of in broad strokes, but it gutted the McCain-Feingold bipartisan legislation back from, geez, the 90s? Is that when that was? My goodness. From the 90s, that tried to have at least some guardrails and disclosure obligations about money in politics. And I have made the argument that the slow roll into Citizens United actually started about 45 years before, like in the 70s, there were some decisions where the Supreme Court was indicating that they viewed money as basically equivalent to speech. And a lot of the commentary has talked about trying to mobilize people and trying to pressure elected officials to consider a constitutional amendment to specify this, to overcome this disastrous, I think probably going to go down in the annals of history, of one of the worst Supreme Court decisions of all time. But you, my friend, have had a searing insight that is based on the fact that corporations and the registration of corporations are governed state to state by state law. A corporation only exists in a state because a state issues its registration or says, yes, you are a duly organized corporation of thus and such state. So I'm going to pass it over to you because you deserve full credit for this brilliant insight. Tell us what the insight is, Tom.
Well, thank you, Maggie. So what it boils down to, like, everybody's been talking about corporate rights, corporate speech rights. That's what courts have been talking about in all these cases, you know, certainly for the last 40 years, and Citizens United is the most prominent on those. But nobody's been talking about corporate powers. And that's the key to this, where if we think of just corporations as just like these big, these entities that can employ all these people and have factories and operate around the world and operate in every state, and just they just kind of seem to exist, and we don't know where they came from, and we don't know, you know, we don't know a lot about them. But there's a very specific place that they came from, and there's a very specific way that they're created, and they're created by state law. The first thing you learn when you go to law school, the first day of corporations classes, corporations are creatures of state law. They don't exist outside the state law. If you cut off that part of the statute and threw it away, there would be no corporations, you know, unlike people who existed before the laws were written and will exist after the laws have gone away. states give corporations every single one of their powers. And for the whole modern era, for the last 100 years or so, all states have given all corporations basically all the powers of natural people. So people are born with their powers. We all have this many powers when we're born. We don't give powers to the government. We don't get powers from the government. We give them to the government in a democracy. That's where the government gets its legitimacy. But corporations start from zero. And for the last 100 years, all the states have just entered and given all the corporations all the powers of people. So they have looked like people in some ways from a power perspective and a rights perspective for the last 100 years. And when, if you know, all these states said, like, all right, you have the power to do anything legal, you have the power of a person. When the court in Citizens United got to that, they said, well, people have the power to spend in politics, and spending in politics is legal. So you corporations must have the power to do that, and you must have the right to do that. And they didn't talk about the power, because this has just been assumed for the last 100 years.
Yes.
But what's fascinating is I worked on some other projects at the Center for American Progress, thinking about corporate power and thinking about the power of boards and how did Citizens United affect all that and all that. And it really got me thinking about, where does this power come from? And you go back to state statutes. And it turns out in every state statute, there's a provision, and they're almost all the same, that says, hey, by the way, we give you all of your powers. And critically, we can change them up at any time or get rid of them altogether. And what courts have said, these have been in state laws since the 1820s, and every new state has added them to the laws almost immediately. And what the Supreme Court has said for 200 years is, oh, because that clause is in there, states can change the powers that they give their corporations anytime for any reason, good or bad, doesn't matter who it hurts. They have, this is a word you don't hear very often in campaign finance law, they have plenary power to do this, unlimited power to do this, unchallenged power to change the powers that they give their corporations. So that's it. And so basically that is the nut of this, which is just, it's like, okay, we've been giving you this many powers for 100 years. Now we're just going to give you this many powers. And it's this affirmative grant of powers that the state has been giving for the last 100 years. And just like, oh, we're just going to give you less. And what we're not going to give you is the power to spend in politics. So the power to spend in elections, the power to spend in ballot issues. There's another provision in state law that kind of makes this work. This is moving ahead in Montana right now. And it's called the Montana Plan. You can get the details at montanaplan.com. And if Montana passes this, then no Montana chartered corporation can spend on any politics anywhere in the galaxy. You know, they're out. They're out of politics altogether. But this provision in Montana's law and almost every other state's law, and everybody else can add it, it says no out-of-state corporation can exercise any power in this state that a domestic corporation can't exercise.
That's the hook.
That is the hook. That is the key to the whole thing.
And I just want to sit here with people so that they understand why that's incredibly important. Because but for a provision of state law that says a, quote, foreign corporation, meaning a business that is incorporated in any other state, if you do not have a provision, one, you strip the corporation of the political power if they're incorporated, and I'm just going to say Wisconsin right now to make this easy. If you are a Wisconsin incorporated business, you cannot engage in political spending of any type. But that only works if the law says no business incorporated in any other state can in this state exercise any powers that a business incorporated in Wisconsin cannot. Otherwise, all a business has to do is hope that there is one holdout state that doesn't engage in this prohibition or this, I'm going to call it, refusal to grant the powers that inure to human beings as an inalienable right in this constitutional democracy to a freaking entity that is profit maximizing and not democracy promoting. All they would have to do is then simply incorporate in that holdout state and still retain those powers. So that provision is what makes it work.
Right. And so basically what it means is that, you know, 49 states worth of out-of-state corporations to Wisconsin cannot spend in Wisconsin politics either, because the domestic guys can't do so. And And it's weirdly powerful. And this is one of the few ways that it actually works in this direction. But part of this is that none of these corporations spend in Wisconsin's local, state, or federal elections. And ordinarily, you cannot make a state law change that affects anything at the federal level because there's federal supremacy and, you know, the Congress has occupied the field in all these different areas. And there's all, a lot of law in this. But because this corporations get all of their powers from the state, they get the power to spend in local elections from the state. They get the power to spend in state elections from the state. They get the power to spend in federal elections from the state. And so it's not a restriction that's somewhere in state law that's keeping them from spending in federal elections. It's just not giving them this power. And this area of law, it is totally separate from Buckley v. Valeo and Citizens United and all these other cases that where the court has just been shredding campaign finance law for the last 40, 50 years. This is absolutely foundational corporation law. This is what all of the rest of corporate law rests on, that corporations get their powers from the states. They can only exercise the powers that they're given, you know, all of that kind of thing. And that it's a matter of state law and not federal law.
It's fascinating in addition. And for anybody that's sort of a legal wonk, what I additionally like about this, Tom, is that efforts of corporations to try to take cases out of the state court system, if the courts show any fidelity to their 100 plus years of precedent saying corporate powers and how they are granted are exclusively in the jurisdiction of the state, there would be no basis, at least I would say, to try to remove those cases into federal court. I'm sure they would use a First Amendment hook to try to get there. But I think that would be on fairly weak territory, because you would be interpreting states and their grants of powers to corporations, which, again, long, long, long history of saying corporations exist on a state-by-state basis and their powers are specified by those states.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Where does this stand in terms of, like, legal academia? Are law professors writing law review articles about this? Is this new-ish? There's the Montana plan, so it's been around for a little while.
Just a couple months. And it's something that the Center for American Progress has worked with the Montana organizers there to get that going. But on the ground in Montana, it is a nonpartisan effort. You know, they are getting folks from both sides of the aisle and just getting up a huge amount of interest all throughout the state in this. It has been submitted to the Secretary of State. It's gone to the Attorney General, and we expect a decision tomorrow from the Montana Attorney General. Yeah. About whether it meets some certain, basically they've got a couple like technical things that it kind of the form that it has to take in order to qualify for the ballot. We kind of expect him to turn it down.
Yes.
He's a fairly conservative Republican. He turns a lot of ballot issues down. He also gets flipped a lot by the Montana Supreme Court. If he does turn it down tomorrow, or if he delays some more and it's a little bit later, whenever he does, the Transparent Election Initiative, the group that has sponsored the Montana plan in Montana, has 10 days to get a brief to the Montana Supreme Court appealing that decision. And that'll be a very quick turnaround that the Attorney General has to give their response. Then the Montana Supreme Court will decide whether that is eligible to be on the ballot the next year.
You're going to let me know what he says tomorrow, Tom, because I want to report on it. We're going to talk about how to maybe get this going in Wisconsin and other states. We'll take another crack at explaining it, because this is a little technical, and it's if you're not a corporate type person, this may be all new information to you, but it is incredibly important to every American to rip out, root and stem the rot that is dark money in politics. We have a pathway forward. Folks, don't go anywhere. I continue this important discussion with Tom Moore, Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress Action Fund. I'm Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be back in just a moment.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Allure Intimate Apparel redefines what it means to feel confident, celebrating every woman, every shape, every size. Their expert fit specialists offer a refined, pressure-free experience designed for comfort, beauty, and ease. Bras, sleepwear, swim, and intimates, Allure has it all. With a personalized touch and a commitment to exceptional service, Allure helps women feel effortlessly supported every single day. An elevated new location is now open in the Hilldale Shopping Center, where fit meets sophistication. Visit AllureFits.com.
This is Chad Spade. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed by the hatred and misinformation that consumes our world, but I also know that we cannot build a house of justice and inclusion on a foundation of hatred and lies. We have to practice what we preach. At Chad's Design Build, we confront injustice the same way we confront a poorly built home, with love, compassion, intelligence, and persistence. We engage our community the way we engage our clients, with honesty and humility and the dogged determination that we can do better. Chad's Design Build, remodeling done well with love.
From the terrace to the tailgate, Madison has its own rhythm. A mix of fun, passion, and plenty of opinion. 92.7 WMDX captures it all with conversation that matters. Real news, real talk, real Madison. WMDX, the station that lives where you live and cares about what you care about.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers. The consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us and giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining me. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Joining me this half hour is Tom Moore, Senior Fellow for Democracy Policy at the Center for American Progress, who had, I would describe it as, one of those aha moments about how we can work on a state-by-state basis to get money out of politics. Things that all of us, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, generally agree is a terrible, no good, very bad thing. And so, Tom, let's reset it for folks, because most regular people don't swim in the world of corporations. Sure. and how a business gets incorporated and how you go about doing that. So let's just start from the beginning and give it to folks pretty simply.
Yeah. Again, it's a matter of powers and rights. And the thing that we just haven't talked about for the last 100 years is that corporations get every single one of their powers from the states. And states can decide which powers to give the corporations. They just haven't for the last 100 years. And once they get all the powers, or they get all the powers of a person, they kind of look like a person under the law. And then they have all the rights of a person under the law. But those two things are really different. And it's worth, and it took me months, actually, to really get my head around and kind of put a wall between those two. And here's one way to think about it. And I'll ask you, Maggie, do you have the power to fly? And I mean flap your arms and fly.
I most certainly do not, my friend. No. I wish I did sometimes.
Yes, but you do not. Your creator did not endow you with that power. Birds, bats, pterodactyls, their creator did give them the power to do that. Now, Maggie, if the Supreme Court came to you and said, Maggie, you have a constitutional right to fly, would you go up on the roof and give it a shot?
No.
Highest court in the land, you know, you're sure.
Still not doing it.
Because regardless of what they say about your right to do something, if you are an entity that doesn't have the power to do it, talking about the rights doesn't change that underlying reality that you don't have the power to do it. And it's the same thing with corporations. If a corporation is defined as an entity, you know, if Wisconsin changes its laws so that that is just no longer on its list of powers and it's redefined as something that can't do it, it doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says about its right to do it. You have the right to do it or you don't have the right to do it. It doesn't matter because they still can do it. They're defined as something that can't do it. And that's the difference between powers and rights.
So sometimes we need those metaphors to get our heads around these things. And I think that makes it so very clear. So, Tom, we've got the Montana plan where this is moving forward. Their attorney general is reviewing whether or not effectively this question about should corporations that are incorporated in the state of Montana have this power to spend in elections. The AG is reviewing whether or not that is in appropriate form. It's a technical, really, inquiry to go to a ballot. He'll probably say no. We'll keep folks posted on that. If you want to find out more about that, you can go to montanaplan.com. Also, you can check out the Transparent Election Initiative. Here in Wisconsin, voters, we cannot basically petition or demand and have something like this put up on a binding statewide referendum. It has to matriculate through our legislature to get on the ballot. So, Tom, as we sit here today and people are starting to get their heads around the fact that the Supreme Court might tell corporations that they have the right to fly, but try as they might, if they jump off the roof of a building, they ain't flying. And so, too, when it comes to political spending, if each state in turn decides to remove the power from corporations which are entirely created by effectively the grant of powers to them by each state. If each state starts to say corporations don't have this power, it doesn't matter if the Supreme Court says, but yes, they have the right to do it. What should voters in the state of Wisconsin be asking their elected officials about to get this ball rolling here?
Yeah. Well, I think first it's an education moment where, you know, for the last 15 years, every American, me, you, you know, thought that the only way to get rid of Citizens United was through a federal constitutional amendment or a new Supreme Court. And then we were just going to have to like slog it out with a constitutional amendment or wait maybe several lifetimes for a Supreme Court that would flip it. And so what Wisconsin residents can do is they can tell their legislators like, oh, you actually have the tools in your hands. This is one of my favorite footnotes on this is a quote from the Wizard of Oz, where the good witch tells Dora that she had the power to do this the whole time. This was for me, this was Operation Ruby Slippers for a while. State legislators have had this power for the last 200 years to change up the powers that they give their corporations, and they can undo Citizens United, make it irrelevant. State by state. And if majority of the Wisconsin House and Senate make that decision and make that move, they can fix Citizens United for every level of politics in Wisconsin.
It's so critical. We've had this power all along. Corporate law and how we view corporations has just kind of become part of the ephemera in this country. We just presume that they have these kinds of powers when in fact the powers only exist because a state grants a business that power. And a state, by virtue of its citizens and a binding referendum, could say or say permanently, you're never getting that power here, and no corporation incorporated in any other state can exercise a power in the state of Wisconsin that a domestic, meaning Wisconsin-based corporation, can't exercise.
That's right.
Folks, ask your elected officials. Every time you talk to them, do you know what the Montana plan is? Do you know that we can tell corporations that are established here in the state of Wisconsin that they do not have the right to spend in elections? And do you know, state legislator, that that is entirely within your power? This is where we're going to start. This is where we're going to finish. It can be done. It will be done. Why? Because it's good for every single American. Big thanks to Tom Moore. Keep us posted. You'll come back and talk to us more about this because I love it. It is sometimes these elegant, simple solutions to the complicated problems that are our pathway forward. When we come back, I'm going to talk with Professor John Hall about the politicization of our military. Irrefutably, what's going on now, and why we all need to be deeply concerned about it, regardless of which party you may care for more.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Photos show that the east wing of the White House has been completely demolished as part of President Trump's plan to build a new ballroom. The White House says the president and private donors are paying for that $300 million project. Responding to more questions about it, Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt said,
"The president has been incredibly transparent. I would reject any notion otherwise when it comes to this ballroom project. It's something he personally has obviously taken an interest into."
President Trump said he is not sending federal troops to San Francisco this weekend after speaking with the city's mayor. Plaintiffs suing the federal government over ICE agents in Chicago allege that Customs and Border Protection agents used chemical agents, violating a temporary restraining order that blocks their use without justification.